Hello everyone, I'm Alan Ashton and you're tuned in to Organ First Radio. And indeed, it's nice to have your company again, and may I commence by saying a huge thank you to all those listeners who emailed with compliments on the new internet radio station. And also a big thank you to so many people in the organ world who freely and generously gave us the launch publicity that we sought. It seems everyone has commented on the quality of the audio content, and between us, Ian King at MSS and myself, we do seem to have succeeded in achieving our aims in that department. Anyway, also received a number of requests, and hopefully I'll be able to slip in a couple amongst this month's programme, which, in the main, will highlight a whole raft of new releases, starting with this one by Robinson Cleaver at the Granada Cinema Tooting Wurlitzer, details of which will follow his signature tune, An Earful of Music, and then the famous Spanish Gypsy Dance.
Hello everyone, this is Robinson Cleaver speaking to you from the Granada Theatre, Tooting, London. In the selection that follows, I hope that you'll perhaps find at least one of your own particular theatre organ favourites. Happy listening!
The late and great Robinson Cleaver at the famous Tooting Wurlitzer, and a track taken from a compilation CD titled Granada, which is on the pipe organ presentations label, further details of which can be seen on our new Organ First video screen. This compilation comprises of two original American concert recording LPs, and apart from Robbie, who played the Spanish Gypsy Dance, the other artist is Jackie Brown, who puts this magnificent instrument through an entirely different type of program. Again, I'll be returning to this CD later in the show. But right now, it's time for an advance track from a forthcoming CD by Dutch organist Dirk-Jan Ranzheim. The CD is to be called A Time for Us, and this is his own composition, which he calls Pieces of a Broken Heart, played on the Boehm Excellence 300 Maxima electronic organ. Dirk Jan Ranzine and his own composition, Pieces of a Broken Heart, played on the Boehm Excellence 300 Maxima organ, and that's an advanced track from his new forthcoming CD called A Time for Us. Time to squeeze in a short request from Andy Howard, who indicates that his father became a friend of Blackpool organist Watson Holmes in the 50s, and could I include something by this popular organist? As Andy rightly says, there is little or nothing commercially available by Watty, as he was affectionately known, and as far as I know, the only recording has long been deleted. Anyway, I do have a copy, and from it, here is the rather short, but nevertheless interesting, Midnight Tango, played on the Blackpool Opera House Wurlitzer. Watson Holmes. Midnight Tango, played by Watson Holmes at the Blackpool Opera House Wurlitzer. It'd be fair to say that a number of organists at Blackpool, in the good old days that is, were overshadowed by Reginald Dixon and Horace Finch, and both Watson Holmes and Reginald Holland would have fallen into that category. I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing Reginald Holland some many years ago, and he gave me this, again short, recording of him playing at the four-manual 12-rank Konica organ that used to be in the Odeon Cinema in Blackpool. Thank you. Petite Waltz, played by the late Reginald Holland at the Odeon Cinema in Blackpool. The organ, of course, was removed long ago and I believe eventually broken up. But of course the building still stands and serves today as a drag show theatre, and a very good one, so I'm told. In September, organist Paul Roberts called in to see me on his way to play a local concert, and I took the opportunity of talking to him about a couple of new recordings, and began by suggesting that he was one of several organists now celebrating milestones in the organ world. In Paul's case, 25 years.
The very first concert that I gave was in Stafford for the Stafford Organ Society, but the first confirmed booking was in Southport, and just a couple of months ago I was able to return and play a concert for them after all these years, which was fabulous.
When you started off all those years back, I mean, did you really intend to go into the organ world in the depth that you have, or had you got your sights set on something else?
Well, the organ world's, I think, fairly and squarely been based on nostalgia. I've done a lot of cinema and theatre organ playing, and whilst some people may react to me saying that it's based on nostalgia, I firmly believe that that's been an integral part of it. And of course, when things are based on nostalgia, they can be somewhat finite. So I don't know that I saw it having quite the future that it's given me. It's taken me all over the world, and it's been thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, you've done quite a lot of trips to America for a kick-off, haven't you?
Indeed, yes. I returned this spring from my 24th concert tour of the States, yes.
Any highlights from the organs that you were playing over there?
Yeah, the real highlight, I guess, was on the 23rd trip, which was in February of 2006. And in during that tour, I was to play Radio City Music Hall. Well, I say I was to play Radio City Music Hall. I did play Radio City Music Hall, which is the largest original installation of a Wurlitzer in the world's largest indoor theatre, 6,000 seats and a twin console, two four-manual consoles, a city block apart. So I think that's a highlight.
And was that part of a concert or a private visit?
No, that was a concert. It was a public concert, and I was the first British organist ever to be invited to play it in a solo concert.
Is it something of an odd one that the organs are there, but to actually have concerts in there is quite a unique occasion, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. The organs used regularly throughout the years, each year as part of stage shows and so on, but indeed I believe this was the third public concert in about 30 years.
Coming back to this country, you've just released a couple of new CDs, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about them, especially the one that you've done at home. What's the sort of concept behind that?
Well, I'm blessed to live in a lovely home in the heart of the Somerset countryside, and I don't have any immediate neighbours, so I can record whenever I want. And we had some wonderful state-of-the-art microphones, which we put in strategic places when we were recording different instruments. And over a period of 5 or 6 weeks, I was able to record my two-manual church organ, which used to be in a church in Jersey, my Hammond B3000 with its rotating Leslie speaker, my two grand pianos. I have a Schimmel grand piano and a Steinway Model O, my Technics digital piano, and my Yamaha HS8. And the thing that made this recording different to any other I've done is that time is money when you're recording normally. If you're on location in a theatre or in a studio, either you're paying the engineer or the engineer's part of a record company and they're egging you on to get things done as fast as possible. This was absolutely marvellous because I could just record when I felt like it. I could do retakes. I could play at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it makes the album different to anything else I've ever done or been involved with.
Reading the sleeve notes as well, there's a reference there to concerts and little get-togethers that you have there.
Yes, in the grounds of my home, I own the former village hall. The previous owner of my house astutely bought the village hall from the parish council at a weak moment. And anyway, I'm the proud possessor of this village hall, and it seats about 40 people, so we can move instruments into there. And I give invitation concerts from time to time, which are great fun to do. Thank you.
And the other one, the other CD, that's all on the theatre organ. It's various organs that you've played over the years, isn't it?
It is indeed. And what I've done with this disc, which is called What a Wonderful World, is I've selected some of my favourite recordings of instruments that I've been privileged to play in concert and record over the years. So it's a little bit self-indulgent, this disc, because it's my choice. But some of my favourite instruments in Australia, in the United States, and back home here in England. So, for instance, in Australia, you've got that jewel in the crown of theatre organs in Adelaide, the Capri Theatre. In the States, you've got the Senate Theatre Detroit, the Paramount Theatre Middletown, and a whole host of others. But there are also a couple of live extracts on there, unbeknownst to me, a couple of concerts were recorded. Well, I've had lots of concerts recorded over the years, but a couple of particularly appealed to me with this project in mind. One was the wonderful Wurlitzer organ of the Auditorium in Rochester, New York, and there were 1,600 in the audience, and they were clapping and cheering, and I didn't know the concert was being recorded, and we've put been digitally recorded indeed in the mid-90s, and we've put the last 10 minutes or so of that on. It's really, I think the sense of occasion really comes over. And similarly, an extract of a concert I gave on England's most famous Wurlitzer, the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. We normally expect to hear that Wurlitzer accompanied by the shuffle of dancers' feet. So it was a real privilege in 1998 to play it in a concert, and also not have to play it in strict tempo. And so that was captured, and we've put 10 minutes of that on the recording. So it's a whole melange of my favourite instruments.
Going back quite a few years, you had the privilege of working with Brian Sharp for many, many months. Well, in fact, many years, didn't you, at Sanford Park before they decided that, well, the organ had got to go. But you played a lot there with Brian, didn't you?
Yeah, I did 10 full summer seasons, and they were long seasons. They used to start often before Easter and carry on until early November. Yes, 10 years as a theatre organist.
It was rather a unique instrument as well, wasn't it? Because, I mean, Brian had got it sort of souped up to do various things. I should imagine it was quite a difficult one to play for you, was it?
Yes, it was quite an instrument. Originally, it was a fairly ordinary, I think it's fair to say, cinema organ. It was installed in the Regent Cinema in Poole. And I have a strong affection for it because I first came across it when it was installed in the Antelope Hotel in Poole. And my parents would, before I could drive, would allow me 2 theatre organ concerts a month. And they'd take me to the Antelope Hotel in Poole and to the Pavilion Theatre in Bath, where there was a 2-manual 9-rank Wurlitzer that used to be in the Regent Cinema in Bournemouth. But anyway, back to the Christie that was in the Antelope and formerly in the Regent. It was then moved to Sanford Park, and little did I realise when I was watching and listening to it in the Antelope Hotel in Poole that I would end up playing it professionally and for so long, a decade, at Sanford Park alongside, as you've already mentioned, Alan Brian Sharp. And the organ was added to. We had the Wurlitzer Tibia from the BBC Playhouse Theatre Wurlitzer in Manchester, which you well remember. Yeah. And we had a good portion of the Garens Theatre Southend Christie and various other things, and the electronic things were plumbed into it. And well, working alongside Brian Sharp, it was a case of some nights you'd come in and press a button and really not know quite what was going to happen. But anyway, it all kept the job alive and interesting and vital.
Well, let's return to your latest CD, the Round the Wonderful World one. You've got a favourite track from it?
Yeah, I think the opener's one I would choose. I was dreading you asking me that question because I've already told you that the disc was somewhat self-indulgent, but now you're getting me to indulge my indulgence. So, yes, the first track, a piece of music called Let's Break the Good News, followed by I've Got a Pocket Full of Dreams, recorded on that wonderful Kimball organ in the John Dickinson High School in Wilmington, Delaware. The instrument was 44 ranks, as you're hearing it on the recording, 42 or 44 ranks. Should we quibble about a couple of ranks here and there when we're up in these numbers? I've played the instrument since. I've given 3 concerts there. It's now 66 ranks. But anyway, you can hear it on this recording at 42 ranks. And, well, it speaks for itself.
some of the music and memories of Paul Roberts, my special guest in this month's edition of Organ First Radio. Both items are from his two current CDs available right now, and they were, firstly, A Giddy Girl, one of two French miniatures played on the Schimmel piano, and Let's Break the Good News and I've Got a Pocket Full of Dreams, played on the Kimball organ in Dickinson High School in America.
Hi, this is Mike Hall, and you're in tune with Organ First Radio.
And kicking off the second part of this month's show is another pre-release track, this one from Ian Griffin, one half of the famous Key Clicks duo. My advance copy doesn't have any details other than the titles, but you can check out the cover shots of Up on the Roof, together with all the track details on our Organ First video screen. The keyboards are the Ketron SD5 and Ketron X1 with a 13-note pedal board. And as Ian tells everyone at his concerts, it's like an electronic organ. The only thing that's missing is the bit of wood around it, which is certainly one way of looking at it. From an impressive list of 14 tunes, some new ones amongst them, I've chosen For Once in My Life, a pop song written by Ron Miller and Orlando Murden for Motown Records back in 1967. But I guess the most popular version will always be that by Stevie Wonder, who recorded it a year later.
Thank you.
for once in my life, taken from Ian Griffin's latest release, titled Up on the Roof. Back now to the compilation CD featuring Robinson Cleaver and Jackie Brown at the Granada Tooting. As promised, here's a track by Jackie Brown, which originally was released under the title of The Flying Scotsman. The title was unique inasmuch that Jackie came from Scotland and all the tracks, which were associated with trains in some form or another, were linked together with actual sound effects of the famous locomotive bearing the same title. However, it was decided this was a little too gimmicky. After all, we are harking back to the pioneering days when hi-fi enthusiasts brought their neighbours in to hear all kinds of train sounds hurtling across from one side of their living room to the other. And so, the trains have now gone. Like most of them in real life. Alabama Bound, played by Jackie Brown. Now, in the event that you still have the original concert recording LP titled The Flying Scotsman, that track, Alabama Bound, did not appear on it. Neither, for that matter, did the Choo Choo Samba. So, in effect, there are a couple of bonus tracks. Pipe Organ Presentations record producer Don Thompson has done a pretty good job of editing out the train effects, which wasn't easy because the only copy of the master tape had them already laid in. Anyway, two fine organists on an equally fine instrument, Robinson Cleaver and Jackie Brown at the Granada Tooting, and the CD title is simply Granada. Now, I had an email from someone which I must confess I destroyed by accident. The email, that is, not the person. But I do remember that the writer asked to hear once again the signature tune which I used back in my BBC Radio Manchester days for the organised keyboard show. Due to the amount of music that I included in last month's tribute show to Klaus Wunderlich, it wasn't possible to include this delightful little composition of his, which is called Pizzicato Ahead. Pizzicato ahead, played by Klaus Wunderlich, and a reminder of the days of organised keyboards on Radio Manchester during the 80s. It isn't very often that you find electronic organists including classical overtures in their programmes, but at a recent concert I attended given by Brett Wales, I was most impressed by his inclusion of the overture to The Marriage of Figaro, and even more happy to find that he included it on his 2006 CD, which is titled Retrophonic.
We'll be right back.
overture to The Marriage of Figaro, played by the ever-popular Brett Wales, and that was taken from his CD, Retrophonic, which was issued last year, but of course is still available. Ever since I purchased a 7-inch 45 RPM recording of American organist Don Baker, he's remained as one of my all-time favourite players. And so again, through an arrangement that the Pipe Organ Presentations Company have with the former Concert Recording label, there's a double helping of Don Baker contained within a new CD titled Paramount. This title refers to the Wurlitzers that used to be in the Paramounts, Brooklyn and New York. The New York installation was always thought of to be the Wurlitzer installation by which all others were judged, and after 38 years of its life tended to by tuner and organ builder Dan Papp, the final concert took place on September the 24th, 1964. The occasion was captured on tape, and so from this compilation CD, played by the man they dubbed Mr. Medley, here's Don Baker and the lovely tune, All the Things You Are. All the Things You Are, played by the late Don Baker, and that's a track taken from a compilation CD featuring 19 tracks played at two of America's finest sounding Wurlitzers. Details again are on the Organ First video screen. There were a number of organists who played the Paramount New York who went on to make quite a name for themselves as solo concert and recording artists, one of whom was George Wright. Let's turn back the clock to those days when he could be heard playing the Paramount with numbers such as this, Begin the Begin.
Organ music at its best on the internet with Organ First Radio.
The Paramount New York Wurlitzer, Begin the Begin, and the gorgeous sound there in the hands of George Wright. Last month I was invited by John Romero, who presents the Eastbourne Music Festivals at the Cumberland Hotel, to present my audiovisual production titled Remembering Mark Shakespeare. Mark was a most gifted and popular organist, both here, on the continent and the USA. And in this country, the nearest exponent of Mark's individual style and playing has to be Anthony Lomas, and it was Anthony who played all the live parts of this presentation, to great acclaim, I might add, from everyone present. I lost count of the number of people who asked where he'd been all these years. Well, he never went away, but his full-time employment prevents him from playing on the concert circuit on a regular basis. More's the pity when the playing is such as this. Tucker Tucker, played in the style of the late Mark Shakespeare by Anthony Lomas at the Boehm Organ. And with that, we come to the end of this month's Organ First radio show. Next month, dare I mention it, will be the edition containing a proportion of Christmas music. Not all of it, I promise you, even I couldn't stand that. I promise, however, there will be something for each and every one of you pipe or electronic organ fans alike. Till then, thanks for your company once again, and don't forget to look at the programme tune list to see which of this month's recordings are available from MSS Studios. From yours truly, Alan Ashton, till next month, bye for now.
Organ First Radio was produced and presented by Alan Ashton, with technical direction by Ian King.